Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, if you're operating off of generalizations or misconceptions about retirement, you can truly set yourself up for a dangerous and rocky detour along that route. So to clear up any confusion, we're going to dive into a few common financial planning misconceptions to help you avoid on your journey.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here. I'm Steve Swindoll. Kevin, been helping folks in the retirement world for over 30 years, investment advisor representative. You find him at Silverleaf Financial and SilverleafFinancial.com. Kevin, another week. We were just talking before we started here. What the heck? It's a great week in the market.
It is another real good week. Yeah, we are back within, I want to say, maybe 50 points of the all-time high on the S&P 500.
Wow.
And guys, the facts are that the economy is doing well. GDP is still over 3%. Unemployment for the, I believe it's the 27th month in a row, unemployment is below 4%, which is almost equal. That's the longest streak going back to World War II. It's like the mid-1940s since we've had unemployment so low, meaning it's been since just after World War II that we've had such a strong job market. So mm-hmm. To me, things look very good. Interest rates are really back to a normal range, in my opinion. People that are younger, you know, maybe they've never seen interest rates above zero. So if you're below 35 or so, I guess, most of your adult life, you haven't seen interest rates anywhere near where they are. But those of us that have been around a little longer know that 4.5% or so on a 10-year treasury is actually below average. It's still, guys, with all the interest rate hikes we've had, if you go back historically, say the last 75 years, the interest rates are still lower than they have been over that period of time. The average 10-year treasury is 4.8. So if you go back to a longer period of time and you widen the lens, right? So in other words, let's not just look at the last 15 years. Go back in a longer period of time, a bigger slice of history, and you'll see interest rates are normal now. So I'm actually a little confused when people say, hey, let's get back to normal, because this is normal. So I know a lot of folks, if you're looking to buy a house, take out a mortgage, it's not necessarily what you wanted to see. But there's plenty of us that can talk to you about mortgage rates being north of 10%, if not closer to 15, right, Steve?
I lived through that. You know, my first house, I paid 12.5.
There you go. I talked to a lot.
And that was a VA loan.
Oh, no kidding. VA loan. And that was a better rate than you probably got in a conventional loan.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't tell you the number of people that I talk to, you know, that tell me that. Man, I remember my first house, I was getting 13 or 14%. I thought that was pretty good. Because guys, go back and look at interest rates in the late 70s, early 80s.
Brutal.
Horrible, right? I think the 10-year treasury went over maybe 15 or 16%. I always tell people, I remember that's when I was a teenager and I was riding along in my car, you know, because I didn't have my license yet. And my mom would go to a bank and she'd say, I got to deposit some money, and she's going to take out a CD, you know, paying 15% interest.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, I wish I'd have been smart enough to say buy 30-year bonds, Mom. Buy 30-year bonds. Because you could have made 15% interest for 30 years.
Wow. So,
all right. That would have been the single best investment anybody could have made around 1980, plus or minus a couple of years. 30-year bonds, period. Anyway, so where we are now, you know, to me, doesn't look anywhere nearly as bad. But, you know, but my mother would come out of that bank, not just with a nice 15% CD, but also they'd give her a toaster just for being a customer.
Absolutely. Right? I love those days. I remember them well.
Like, right? I'm like, now you go in there and they almost want you to pay them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right?
So, and anyway, we wanted to help you guys avoid any mistakes you might make, because a lot of people, you know, we have these talk around the water cooler or a cup of coffee, wherever it might be. And, you know, maybe one of your friends or somebody will say something and you're thinking maybe they know what they're talking about. Right. Well, let's try to clear it up a little bit. One of the biggest ones is basically how fast you're going to spend your money and how much you're going to spend in retirement. And there's an old rule of thumb talking about 4% being the recommended withdrawal rate. And this was developed over 30 years ago in the early 1990s. And it was based on, for the record, interest rates being higher than they are now. Just go back to 1990 and take a look. And I want to say the 10-year treasury was maybe in the 6 or 7 range, not 4 to 4.5. So at that point in time, what they said is if you have 60% of your money in stocks, 40% in bonds that are paying like 6%, then you could take out an estimate of 4%. With a high probability. That's the key to this, is that it was a high probability the money will last. And it was something like a 90% likelihood it would last you if you're 65 until you're 90. So where you get into the risk with this, guys, is that, one, what if you live longer? Two, what if your investments don't do as well as you thought they would do? Or three, what if interest rates do go back down and you're not getting anywhere near that type of return on your bonds that people were making when this formula came up? So it's a little bit, you know, you want to make sure if you're employing a strategy like that, that you understand you are taking risk that you could run out of money before you run out of life. And that is like pretty much the last thing I want to see happen to anybody. So what I do suggest, what I think gives a lot of people, what I know gives a lot of people peace of mind, is allocating some of your investment portfolio, not all of it, just some of it, to something that's going to pay you guaranteed income. Now, if you can live off guaranteed rates from, for instance, fixed annuities, I can still get 6% guaranteed for 3 years. Plain and simple, guarantee, three-year guarantee for 6% compound interest. No fees, no charges, no risk. Just a simple, plain vanilla fixed annuity. It's just like a bank CD, except you don't pay interest. You don't pay taxes on your interest until you withdraw the money. All right? So if you're looking for a guarantee, if you could live off of 6% from your investments, then there's a risk-free way to do it right there that can generate the income that you want to generate without taking any risk. So the first thing I always suggest to folks is let's look at, can you live on a guaranteed rate of return? If the answer is no, then we can look at other alternatives, right? To me, the stock market is about growing and accumulating wealth. It's not about making 5 or 6%. In my opinion, you're taking unnecessary risk if that's what you're looking for with stocks, because you can get that with guaranteed investments that are much safer. So in my opinion, stock market is for trying to accumulate wealth, trying to hit double-digit returns, because you're taking a risk of double-digit losses. So why would you do that to make 5 or 6%? So my suggestion is to allocate your money appropriately so you can invest for long-term growth with stocks but also have guaranteed income.
All right. I like it. You explained it well.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And, so there's a lot of bad information out there. Ugh. And now you know, Steve, with with social media, which I think I have a love-hate relationship with it, to be honest. Sometimes
I'm with you, man.
You know, in a lot
of
ways.
It's going to be the downfall of America.
Oh, I think it will be.
Downfall of society as we know it.
I think the latter. I think the downfall of society. I think, you know, when we're this the fact that everybody has, you know, this big amplified microphone or speaker that they can, you know, just get an internet connection and you can talk to the entire world in a matter of seconds.
And do it anonymously.
Yeah. I think it's a mess. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's gotten far distorted. I think it's messing up our elections. I think it's dividing the society. I think it's making things a lot worse than they would have been without it. You know,
completely agree.
No, but unfortunately, they didn't ask me though, Steve, unfortunately.
No, nor I, so there you go.
Right? So, but my point is, there's a lot of so-called influencers out there now, people that have, you know, a bunch of people following them on social media that call themselves financial experts or financial people, wizards or something. They don't know what the heck they're talking about, guys. So be very careful following these people. Make sure you check out their background, their credentials, their licenses and registrations. A lot of people doing this have never had a securities license. They've never passed any securities tests or exams. They've never even taken a finance class, for crying out loud.
But they watched a lot of Kramer.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I've watched Mad Money for 3 years. I'm an expert. Yeah. So just be careful who you listen to, because that could cost you some hard-earned money, right? So another misconception is believing that you can live off of less in retirement than you did while you're working. A lot of people threw around 80% saying, hey, you'll probably need 20% less when you retire. You know what? Let me tell you something. I've been doing this since 1990. Over 30 years, I've been working with people, you know, just before retirement and into retirement. And I could probably count on one hand the number of people that said they spend less in retirement than when they worked. All right. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
I mean, think about it, right? You used to be gone 8, 10, 12 hours a day working, right?
Yeah.
And now you got all that time to do whatever you want. Is it gonna be free? Whatever you want to do. I mean, the reality is, people they you want to do something. I mean, these guys are out here golfing. The minute the sun comes up, they're teeing off. You know?
Oh, sure.
And golf isn't free. What do you spend it? $50. If you spend $50 a round, I think you're probably doing it pretty economically.
Yeah, that sounds really cheap to me.
Right? there's a lot. I mean, I went to places 30 years ago that wanted $100 a round.
I know.
you know, it's ridiculous. And I'm not even talking about any beer or drinks you might have on the course or buying lunch, right? With that,
exactly.
The $20 cheeseburger now. So. Unless, of course, you went to the Formula One race. Did you? Side note: did you see the prices at the Formula One race in Miami?
No.
$250 for ice cream.
Stop it!
I swear to you, look it up, man. $180 for nachos.
And so, people were spending that kind of money?
Apparently, they were. Because it was all. I saw it online. I saw it on social media, and then I actually did a search. How much is this down there? And I think a lobster roll was like $450. So anyway, prices have gotten out of hand. But you know what? We can be smarter than these other people that are paying that, right? So let's make sure we keep an eye on how you're spending your money, who you're listening to, and be aware that when you do retire. Unless you're going to do something that's extremely inexpensive, you're probably going to need about the same amount of money you need now. I've got some people that tell me they spend more because, for instance, they like to travel. And traveling has gotten so expensive. I mean, it's hard to find a decent hotel for less than $200 a night, as far as I can see.
Oh, I know.
You know, you can, but you might have some cockroaches running across your bed. So,
yeah, or worse.
Or worse, right? You know, so... So it's gotten very expensive to do all these things. And so I think it's important that when we're planning your budget, we not only plan that you have the same income that you do while you're working, I want to increase it because we know inflation is going to always be there, right? You know, whatever you're buying today, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, it's probably going to cost a lot more money. And so we have to build into your retirement budget ways to give you extra income so that every couple of years – we can raise that income so that you can keep up with inflation and you don't have to alter your standard of living because we didn't plan for inflation, right? So we want to make sure we factor that in.
Yeah. All right. And again, those are the kinds of things we're talking. So I did just look this up. He says a guy from Motorsport or some expert, I forget what he says. Oh, well, Garfinkel, who was – anyway, he says, taken out of context.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah.
And the prices that might have to
the price
one?
Of a lobster roll in particular. He said it was a lobster roll for probably 10 people for $280. Still a little pricey.
Okay, all right.
Even if that's the case.
Hey, you know what? Maybe I stand corrected, but I did see a lot of it in social media.
I'm looking at it as well, but this is the only one that doubted it or called it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And now I did hear that there were cheaper prices for the record at different parts of the event.
Yeah.
This was in like the center field of or like the most sought after area at the Formula One race that was held in Miami. So those people paid, God, I don't know, $500 a ticket or something.
Right.
You know, so So anyway, I'm just wanted to illustrate a point because I never thought I'd see prices like that.
How about this 12K tequila and 280 lobster roll? 12K for tequila.
12
what is it,
grand?
A barrel? Yeah.
Oh my god.
Better, you know, better be like a barrel.
Oh man, you know what? Couldn't you get a trip yesterday? Oh my god, can't you go to Hawaii for like a week in a really nice place for 12 grand?
You would think so. Oh yeah, here it is. I've actually got a picture of the menu.
Oh, there you go. Guys, this is hot news.
It says bites, chilled Maine lobster rolls, 280.
There you go.
Let's see, warmed empanada duo, 170.
Uh-huh.
Steamed buns, 120.
For a steamed bun, 120.
For a steamed, and I'm looking at a picture of a menu on Twitter or X, whatever.
Yeah, guys, when I saw this last weekend, I don't know how many people watch Formula One. I fell in love with Formula One a couple of years ago. I never watched it much when I was younger, but the races are just a lot more exciting to me because it's not just it's not just a left hand turn for the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not just racing around an oval. And so it's most of these races have 14, 15, 16 turns, and a lot of them are actually streets, right? Street racing that they block off.
Right.
So to me, it's just far more interesting. And I'll tell you what, the pit stops these guys can do blows away NASCAR. Okay. The pit stop, one of the guys last week, his pit stop time was 1.9 seconds.
Cut it out. Okay. And they gassed him up?
Yes. Seriously.
Oh, wow. Wow.
All right. Now, to be fair, there's a lot bigger crew in Formula One. There's like 20 people on their crew.
Yeah.
So if you ever, each person has one job, right? But man, it's impressive though. I love it. These guys going 200 miles an hour plus, so I really enjoy Formula One. They're supposed to be bringing more races to the States, but it's got a long season too. And these guys go all around the globe. So I really enjoy it. I anybody into racing, I'd recommend you guys check it out if you haven't done it so far.
Sure. When I was a kid growing up in northern Minnesota, there was a racetrack called Donnybrook. It's now called BIR.
Yeah.
But they did Formula One racing out there, and that was the highlight. That was my favorite thing to go see as a kid.
That would have been awesome.
This is not a circular track. It's a three-mile track with turns and, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, how a good race should be. I want all kinds of challenges for the drivers, and personally, that's my preference. Don't get me wrong. I watch the other ones, too. But I do like it. I was really happy that somebody other than the Dutchman won this last race. And if anyone watches Formula One, you might Max Verstappen is the Dutchman that is just clobbering. He's cleaning everybody's clock. He won like every race this year until Miami. He came in second. And he's the son of a Formula One champion. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. So Paul Newman used to be a Formula One guy.
Yeah, he did. And he would
race it in my hometown.
Oh, that's
that was always a big deal every summer because Paul Newman was there.
Yeah. Well, there's some old football guys are in NASCAR as well, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
And also for the record, any football fans, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, they are investors in the what they call the Alpine team, if you're British, Alpine.
sure.
They got together with Rory McIlroy, a golfer, a boxing champion, and a handful of other people, including their managers. And they all cumulatively put in like $200 million or something.
Holy crap.
Investment into this racing team. So now they get to go to the pit and they probably don't have to pay admission.
All right.
So there you go. All right. All right, guys. So listen, we'll go back to the retirement story here. If you're not a Formula One racer, you probably have to keep on working. So we want to make sure that you're not making some mistakes that a lot of people do make. Another big one that I see a lot of times, Steve, is, for instance, let me step back for a second. When we sit down, and I'd recommend everybody, you want to have a retirement budget. You want to have some sort of retirement plan, something in writing. Even if it's one page you wrote down on a napkin, that's better than nothing. All right? Just let's get something down on writing so that you have a formal plan that can be customized to you and to your family, your needs. And one of the things we want to start off with, we want to put together a retirement budget, right? So we're going to look at your assets and liabilities. We're going to look at, your own personal balance sheet, I call it, right? Assets, liabilities, all your income coming in, your expenses. So we can figure out what type of cash flow you need over and above if you have a pension or Social Security, things like that. And we also want to try to do our best to time when you claim your Social Security. The reason I bring this up is because one of the factors, a very important factor that we have to include, that we have to make an assumption about, is how long you're going to live. And that is the big wild card for all of us. None of us know, right, how when our expiration date is, so to speak. But I would say, guys, I was just updating and double-checking some statistics today. For a 65-year-old couple, there is over a 50% chance one of you will live past 90. Past 90, right?
Wow.
And so if you're a 65-year-old guy, male, right, on average, you're going to live to 83, okay? Now, remember, you can't look at the overall actuarial tables that you might remember the life expectancy for is around 77, something like that, roughly. But that includes that's the entire population, okay? So when you get to 65, everybody that had, you know, that's died younger, they're not included in that, and they're not pulling down the average, okay? So for the average group, you just take a group of 65-year-olds. On average, a guy lives another 18 to 19 years, and a woman lives another 20, 21 years, all right? So that goes
lucky.
Back to... right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you got the money you need, right?
Yeah, right.
So I bring this into the conversation because it's very important when you're trying to figure out when you want to claim Social Security. Because what you want to do is look at the numbers and realize, first of all, that every month you wait, every year you wait, that check gets bigger. And if you take it before your full retirement age, which for most of us is now 67, a lot of people 66 and change, but it's in that window, you know. So when you're trying to figure it out, what you want to look at is what we call your break-even point. And so in other words, we do calculations. We say, okay, what if you started taking your smaller check at 62, or you took your regular check at 67, or you waited until 70 and took your 25, 30% bigger check, but you waited until 70. So you missed out on getting checks for years and years and years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to calculate the break-even point. And what that means is at what age are you going to be when you will have brought in the cumulative total, right, more than you would have at the previous age. So you wait until 70 to start getting your bigger checks, but then because the checks are bigger, you're going to catch up to that person that took it early or took it at 67 in your early 80s. It's generally around 81 years old. That is your break-even point. So if you think you're going to live past 81, my suggestion is to strongly consider waiting until 70 to claim, especially for the higher bread earner, whoever's got the biggest Social Security check, that person should wait the longest. Because when one of you passes away, the survivor is going to get the bigger of the two checks. He or she will not get both checks, okay? They'll get the bigger of the two. So the person with the bigger check should wait the longest because that's what the survivor is going to wind up with too.
Sure. All right. Again, folks, if you want to get together with Kevin, talk about all of these things, if something caught your fancy today, call us 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717, or visit silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaf like the tree, silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin right there on the homepage, send him an email, and begin the conversation. I mean, you're happy to have these conversations. You're not charging anybody anything. You're doing this an educational standpoint.
That's 100% right. Yeah, please don't worry about any fees or charges. I don't operate that way. I'm happy to sit down, answer your questions. We can sit down face-to-face or just talk over the phone or any other way you might like to communicate. But there's no charge for it, all right? The only thing that I ask is that if you like my ideas and my strategies and you want to pursue them, the only thing I ask is that you pursue them with me. But I call it a gentleman's agreement. It's not anything in writing. It's just my request, right, and out of courtesy. But I don't charge for these things. There's no obligation. I really want to just see if we're going to be a good fit, right? And it's the same thing for you, right? As you're looking around, you want to find somebody that's a good fit for you, you know, philosophically, psychologically. Let's try to leave politics out of it, please, if we could. Some people do look for that too, and that's your choice, of course. But it can seriously cloud the conversation, for the record. All right. So what I would like to do is just sit down and talk, see what kind of ideas we can come up with to help you get to your goals. Now, I don't personally have any preference whether somebody invests in stocks or bonds or mutual funds or exchange-traded funds or fixed annuities or tax-free bonds. It really doesn't make a difference to me. I don't have any I charge the same for all of it, okay? So in terms of how much money I make, it's the same regardless of where it goes. And I got to tell you, with annuities, yes, they pay a commission. There's no additional fee. You can make it. I can make an argument that shows you that an advisor, an agent, would make less on the annuity than he would on a fee-based account. All right. So do the math. Go through it. Don't just fall prey to somebody saying, "Oh, you're going to pay too much," because sometimes annuities can make perfect sense. All right. Not always. They're not right for everybody. Just like stocks are not right for everybody. All right. But how about if I could show you an annuity that's a fixed annuity that has a 4% minimum guarantee that would give you anywhere between 75 and 90% of the market's growth, right? So 75% if you waited 5 years, 90% if you wait 7. So I can guarantee you, contractually guarantee a 4% minimum return with upside of whatever the stock market does, of 75 to 90% of whatever the stock market does. And this is without any fees, without any charges, and without any risk of a loss. All right. Wow. There's not very many people that have access to this product. It's brand new. If you are interested, please give me a call. I'd love to show it to you. It's one of the best risk reward scenarios I've seen in a long, long time.
Okay. So let's lay out a what if situation. Let's say I had $500,000 saved for retirement and I want to sit down with you and I say, okay, let's talk about annuities. Let's talk about income producing annuities.
Yeah.
And how much of that 500 do you think, and again, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances and we're
sure.
making it up, but
yeah.
in general, what would you do?
You know what? It's always going to come down to how much income we're trying to generate and how much risk somebody wants to take and their objectives.
Okay.
And there's a lot of individual factors that come into it. But let's just say, I don't know, you want an extra 20 grand a year.
All right.
And so in that situation, it might be like 200,000 of the 500 that you would invest in the annuity.
Okay.
And you know what? To keep it real simple, depending on how you do it, right? So let's say I would start off by saying, Steve, you know what? Well, if we put that $500,000 into just a plain vanilla fixed annuity at 6%, you can get 30 grand a year guaranteed, never touch the principal. So that's $2,500 a month.
Uh-huh.
You don't touch the principal. And if that'd get you where you need to be and you're comfortable with that, that seems to be the easiest thing. And then you
yeah.
have all of your principal remaining, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't have that much principal or you don't like that strategy, you could look at an income annuity that's a deferred annuity. And so what you do is you put money in there, and it guarantees you a certain amount of growth of the income payment, okay? That's the critical part, and guys, these can be complicated. So that's why you want to make sure you find somebody that you trust, that you're comfortable with, that knows these investments, all right? And I would recommend somebody that knows these investments as well as stocks and bonds, because that's how you can get rid of the bias, all right? Make sure they're fully licensed and registered, that they can give you advice and make recommendations for everything across the board. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, unit investment trusts, you know, whatever it might be, as well as fixed income investments, you know, different types of bonds, as well as different types of annuities. They're not all the same. Just like, you know, cars are not all the same. They've got some common features, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of differences from one to another. It's the same thing with investments. There are similarities, but there's a lot of differences too. And so not all annuities have high expenses. Some of them have no expenses. I can show you some right now that have no expenses at all that you could earn. How about this? If the market is flat or up at all, so in other words, it's up 0.5%, it's up 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, I can pay you 11. And if it's up more than 11%, you get paid 11, okay? So if the market's up, you get paid 11%. If it's down, you don't lose a dime, period, all right? I think that's super, super attractive.
Oh, okay? Gosh, yes, absolutely. That downside protection is so amazing.
And so you know if the market's down, you put $500,000 in there, you still get your $500,000. But if the market's up, you make 11%. Boom. Just like pulling a trigger, okay? Because that's what it's called. It's called a trigger, right? It's a trigger rate. Now, a lot of people have no idea. They've never even heard of it, okay? That's where an advisor can help, you know, show you some value perhaps, all right? Say, Mr. Jones, I can get you 11% even if the market's only up 1 or 2. I can pay you, this contract will pay you 11, all right? If it goes down, you don't lose a dime and it's all contractually guaranteed. Because there's a lot of good investments out there that have really come on in the last couple of years as interest rates have gone higher. And a lot of people, they're just ignoring them. They're not paying attention because they I don't know why. They just don't seem to want to open their mind to it. But if you open your mind and look at the possibilities, I bet I can show you some things that you didn't even know were out there. And this 11% trigger is one of the things I find most attractive. Because there could be any number of years where the market earns, you know, 0 or 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6, pick a number. It's simple. If the market is, even if the market's flat, okay, so even if it's flat, which I don't know if it's ever actually done that, but even if it's flat, this would pay you 11%, okay? If it's down, you don't lose a thing, period, end of story, and it does it every year, all right? So to me, that is something that's very attractive for a piece of your money that you don't want to take any risk with, right? There's other contracts out there I could show you that'll pay you 14, 15% bonus on the very first day, right? And have no risk but good upside with the market. There's other contracts, like I mentioned earlier, that'll pay you a 6% guarantee for 3 years. Show me a bank anywhere. Show me a bank anywhere. That's getting you 6%. The answer is there aren't any, all right? That's the reason I go to a fixed annuity. It's because I can get you a higher guaranteed rate than I can at the bank. And so it has nothing to do with me being a, you know, a super fan of annuities. I look at them as a tool, okay? To me, it's a tool in the toolbox. Just like if you hire a development company to build you a house, all right, they cannot just use a hammer, right? It's right. That old joke, if you're a hammer, then everything, you know, everything looks like a nail. And but you can't use a – well, I guess you could try, right? But
sure.
I don't think it's going to turn out really well, okay? So just like you need different tools in your toolbox for different jobs, that to me is a good way to look at different investment strategies, different investment vehicles, because they will perform differently. They're designed to do a different job. An index annuity is not designed to compete with the stock market. It's a risk-free investment, okay? That is not the stock market. It's designed to compete with bonds, designed to compete with other guaranteed investments that you can't lose money with. That's where the annuity falls. It's kind of in the middle between stocks and bonds. But it'll perform differently, okay? If you had your money in fixed annuities or index annuities in 2022, you wouldn't have lost a dime. But if you had them in stocks, you lost money. You lost, what, 25%, 30%? If you were in bonds, you also lost between 15 and 20%. So these will perform differently. That's why I wanted to use the example of 2022, because a lot of people don't realize there are other vehicles out there because they're tainted by what they've heard in the media. Yep. Somebody somewhere said, oh, those are bad, and they just think they're all bad. And I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you fall into that trap. Okay, take a look at them. Evaluate it on your own. See if it makes sense for you. And it might not. I've got a lot of my clients love them. A lot of my other clients don't. They're not interested. And that's fine. As a fiduciary, I want to make sure I show you the different alternatives that I think can help you get where you want to be. It's ultimately your decision where you want to go and where you want to put your money. But I take my fiduciary role very seriously. And I think if people aren't talking to you about those different alternatives, I don't think they're really doing their job.
Absolutely. Wow. This half hour really went fast, Kevin. So you feeling good about the next couple of weeks? I mean, you know, the market is doing quite well at this point.
I feel good about it, Steve. You know what, guys? Most companies are beating earnings expectations. There are something like 150 or 160 companies that have reported have beat earnings expectations so far.
That's kind of unusual, isn't it?
It is unusual, especially when a lot of people were not expecting it.
Sure.
So there were a lot of analysts that were expecting, you know, not to have a good year this year. They did not expect earnings growth to be strong, but they are. The average earnings growth is coming in the 8 to 9% range. So earnings are good on a micro level at a lot of these companies, and on a macro at the overall economy level, GDP, as I mentioned, is still over 3%. Unemployment is still below 4%. And I think as long as people have jobs, as long as unemployment stays low, I just don't think the economy is going to slow down that much. And so I don't personally anticipate any rate cuts. I hope they don't cut rates, to be honest. I hope they stay where they are. I think it's nice being able to finally earn some interest on your savings and on a money market account. But I feel good about things. I would say stay the course. If you're investing in stocks, stay the course. And if you see weakness, have your list ready of things that you want to buy so that you can buy them on sale if there is some weakness ahead.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, hosts, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.